Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And good morning and welcome back to Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. My name is Alex Reamer. We have a fresh new episode for you this week talking about an issue that we've spoken about a few times in the past on this show over the last year or so, and especially the last several months, as recreational marijuana has become legalized in Massachusetts with the opening of dispensaries and everything else. And to help us talk about not just recreational marijuana, but also CBD, the differences between CBD and THC, because you see advertisements for CBD oil and CBD products all over, but I'm not sure how many people exactly know what that is. So to help us, with some further clarification on this issue, we bring on Dr. Beverly Potter, or Doc Potter for short. She is the author of Cannabis for Seniors, a book designed to educate seniors about CBD and marijuana so they can safely enjoy its therapeutic qualities. She's written many other books as well. Doc Potter, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
It is great to speak with you. So I guess the first question I'll ask will start general, and then we can get more specific. What is CBD? What is THC? And what is the difference between the two?
Well, they're both cannabinoids. In the marijuana flower, there are oils. If anybody's ever seen a close-up of the flower, there's these funny little things that stick out that look like little mushrooms that are clear, and they're filled with oils. It's unbelievable. There's like something like 400 different chemicals in that flower. Some of them, about 80 or more, are called cannabinoids. Only about 5 or 6 have actually been identified and looked into. 2 of them are CBD and THC. They're both cannabinoids. They're different oils. We use them together in the flower, although now people are separating out the CBD and making all kinds of concoctions that we just don't know exactly what they are.
So what are some of those concoctions that people are making with CBD?
That's the question. I mean, maybe people are cooking up stuff in the bathtub.
It could be that crude.
No, this could be happening. I mean, there's all these products, and we don't know exactly where they're coming from, and they're on for sale on the internet. And CBD and these cannabinoids. There's marijuana, which is cannabis, and there's hemp, which is cannabis. They're two strains from the same genus, or however you call the plant. Mm-hmm. With the hemp, which has been it is really for industrial use. The hemp plant leaches heavy metals out of the earth. There can be actually heavy metals in the CBD. People use maybe solvents to extract it from the other cannabinoids. We just don't know what's in these mixtures that people are selling.
And that is worrisome because they are, I mentioned at the top, we have legalization in Massachusetts, many other states, and CBD oil, I believe CBD products are legal in all states, correct?
Well, no, they're not. That's another misnomer. They're not legal. They may have been somewhat decriminalized, but that doesn't mean legal. And each state has a different law, so it's extremely complicated. And when people say legalized across the nation, that just is not the case. Even with the CBD coming out of the hemp, it's only, quote, legal if it's extracted in a certain way that the government wants. But it's gotten so out of control, and the government has been holding off on cracking down. But there will be a crackdown. Anybody who's running around referring to medical marijuana, that requires a license, practicing medicine without a license. So now we're bringing in not only the federal government, but the AMA, the American Medical Association, and they're even meaner.
So what are you calling for here, Doc Porter? In general, are you pro decriminalization slash legalization anti? Do you think it should be more regulation? Where do you fall on this growing
debate?
Well,
we need to know what we're putting in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I'm not crazy for so much regulation, rules, putting people in jail and this sort of thing, which has been out of control.
Right.
But, and there's, the research on these cannabinoids was basically halted for about 70 years. These chemicals hold such promise. So we want to have research. We want to have the legalization, but we also want to know what in the world we're putting into our bodies.
No, that's certainly fair. And you can make that argument too, doctor, not just with these cannabinoid products, but with food. I mean, how many companies fight against us even knowing what's in our food? So it's not just specific to this industry. I think this is a greater issue.
Exactly. It's very, the cannabis issue is really very much like the supplements, the vitamins and so forth. You can talk about a vitamin, but you don't want to say that it cures anything. This is where cannabis is starting to line up.
So you mentioned that we didn't have research on these products for 70 years. Why was that? Why was there such a lag?
Well, that's because it was made illegal.
Okay. Yeah.
And scheduled as a Schedule I drug, right up there with the most dangerous drugs that exist, the opioids and this sort of thing, and they put cannabis. And the whole plant, not just some one chemical, like saying, okay, well, we're going to say it's THC is the cannabinoid that leads to the high. Now, the interesting thing about the THC is that the THC in the plant, in the flower, when it's green and you're holding the crushed up plant in your hand, that is THCA, and that does not cause the high. You have to heat the plant, you have to heat the THCA, and then it converts into THC, the kind of chemical that causes the high. I mean, whoever discovered this, I don't know, but it's an extremely complicated plant.
No, it most certainly is. So what would you recommend? I know you've written about this extensively. If you are looking to buy, let's say, a CBD product, you want to relax, you hear it eases anxiety, eases joint pain, etc. You're going into a store that sells CBD products. What are some things to look for to make sure it's legitimate?
Well, first of all, I would try to go into a dispensary or a store that really specializes in this rather than going online in the beginning when one doesn't even know what's going on, because online, who knows what you're getting.
It's like the Wild Wild West.
I beg your pardon?
The online is more akin to like the Wild West, you would say.
Absolutely. At least in the dispensary, they're there, and there's more oversight, there's more care in the products that they're choosing. At least out here in California, they just keep amping up even the packaging keeps changing. But at least in the dispensary is the best place. You have people who work with these products. You can ask questions and so forth. So that's the best way to start. The second thing is that usually these things are not used individually. They're now separating out the CBD from the THC and other cannabinoids. But traditionally, there's something called the entourage effect, and it's considered to be better for the several CBDs to be used together as they come in the plant. So all of this is being developed. It's all more of the Wild West. But now people are making products where it's just CBD, but that's not the entourage. And then we don't. And so the important thing is, start low, go slow.
Low, go slow? Is that what you said?
Start low, go slow.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
And, well, when you think of a stoner, like that you've seen in a movie or something like that, and the stoner has traditionally been recreational, and they want to get a hit. They want to get a high.
Yeah.
So they don't start low and go slow. They start high with the big hit to try to get a big impact. That it's much better to start low, meaning, first of all, like let's say you have a feeling of anxiety. It's good to study that anxiety and see how it feels in your body and then to start with a very low dose. Usually it's a ratio between CBD and THC, 1 to 1 or 5 to 1. These ratios, which somebody in the dispensary can discuss.
Right.
And you start very low and take a really low dose and wait a little while and notice how it feels. Notice any response you have. That's the note. And then over a space of a few days, to increase that dose slightly, still studying it, because each person responds individually to these chemicals. It's not like pharmaceuticals where they've done these mass studies and all the pills are exactly alike. Each dose, see, every time you go in there, I mean, they say it's the same, but we don't really know that it's exactly the same dose. It just hasn't gotten to that state of the art yet.
Yeah,
so that's the byline, especially if one is using it more medicinally, more therapeutically. Start low, mm-hmm. go slow. And then, you know what the normal curve looks like? It's a curve that's high in the middle and low on the two right and left sides. The normal curve,
sure.
That's called biphasic. So when you start low and it goes up, 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 the point is to try to get to the peak of that curve so that when you take more, the result starts going down. Then you're at the peak, and that's your individual dose that you have learned by starting low and going slow.
I like that. Start low, go slow. It's a nice mantra. It rhymes. I like it for sure.
Right.
What other recommendations would you make to people, some of your patients perhaps, who are looking to use CBD or THC products or perhaps both to, again, cope with anxiety?
Well, usually they're used together, and that's the main recommendation. The other main recommendation is a little off here is do not give it to your dog.
Is that an epidemic? People give it to their dogs, their pets?
The THC is toxic to dogs, and chocolate is toxic to dogs. So if somebody's made up a batch of marijuana,
chocolate, yeah.
You know, brownies or cookies, and, you know, a dog, if they come across a plate of brownies, they'll eat it all.
Right.
And they could die.
Wow. They
get extremely ill because the chocolate and the THC are both toxic. And so the byword for with animals is that's usually getting the CBD from the hemp, because hemp has very low percent of THC in there.
I had no idea.
But for humans, it's better to get it from the marijuana side, the marijuana plant, rather than the hemp plant, just because the way the plant has been grown is more careful.
Yes.
I mean, we don't know what are the fertilizers they're putting in these plants. You know, what chemicals and solvents are being used? I mean, all of this is a big mystery.
So I guess that's your main contention, Doc Potter, that we don't have enough regulation, enough information yet about these products. Is that your main contention?
Well, yes, but people have been using them for thousands of years anyway. I mean,
right.
Not distilling out the chemicals, perhaps, but marijuana has been around and people have been using it, and
right.
They will continue.
Well, but now it's
to
being sold
it.
Recreationally, and it's medically legal in, you know, more than half the states. So the usage now, it must be much higher than it's ever been. It's just much more accessible.
Yeah, yes, it is, and in many ways that's good, because people, especially seniors, have been overdoped on opioids.
Right.
And the terrible thing about the opioid is, let's say a senior's on opioids and they stumble or they mumble. People go, oh, that's just a senior moment. No, they're overdoped. They can't cope. They're, you know, taking too many opioids. And then what can happen to seniors is they get ashamed. So they figure out how to be buying these drugs from two different pharmacies and this sort of thing. So, and it's just not good. Well, very successfully, it's best to be working with the doctor, although it's not that easy to find an MD that's knowledgeable, to slowly wean oneself from these heavy chemicals, these opioids, onto the cannabis, because cannabis is not addictive. And you know why people can die on opioids? There's these things called receptor sites. So all of these chemicals in our body have receptor sites, and then the chemical fits into the receptor site or cell like a key. They liken it to a lock and a key. So opioid receptor sites are in the brain stem, and the brain stem controls breathing. So when you use opioids, immediately you get diminished breathing anyway, and if you take too much, you die. There are no cannabinoid receptor sites in the brain stem. So one could take too much cannabis and have a negative experience and feel like you're dying, but you're not dying.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Beverly Potter. She's the author of Cannabis for Seniors, a book designed to educate seniors about CBD and marijuana so they can safely enjoy its therapeutic qualities and pain healing qualities. And I'm so glad you brought up that point, Doc Potter, because that's a greater point I want to bring up. I, for disclosure sake, am a habitual regular marijuana smoker. I have done it for many years. I do have anxiety, but I also do it recreationally. I enjoy it. And that's my number one argument that I state to people that are anti-decriminalization, anti-legalization, anti-medical medicinal use. I say, well, the alternative for a lot of people are these very destructive opioids, these very destructive painkillers that, as we're seeing with the opioid crisis, kills people.
And they wear out. They only work for a little while, and then you don't get the pain reduction. You just get the addiction.
Right, right. You get the addiction. And the other issue you have, too, is you have doctors over-prescribing these
exactly.
opioids as well. They over-prescribe. I was amazed. I had a very minor surgical operation last year, and I was prescribed a massive, massive amount of opioids. And I'm like, I can't even, I mean, the operation was brief. I couldn't even imagine needing one, never mind however many they gave me.
Right.
It was unbelievable
and
to me.
So let's just say you were a nice, compliant person. You think, oh, I better take these pills. But before you went through the round of that prescription, you could be addicted.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely...
Just from one prescription. And then off for, who knows, years of a horrible experience. Now, another important thing is the manner of ingestion, okay? So we all have seen people smoking. And actually smoking, when you smoke from the joint or the vape, it goes into your lung and it gets in the bloodstream in a matter of seconds. And so
right.
it can be very fast. And so especially in the beginning, it's actually a lot of seniors say, oh, I don't want to smoke it. But it's actually better to start that way because you can take start low, go slow. You can take one puff.
Yeah,
one puff.
It does result quickly.
But if you eat it, see the edibles, here's where people get in trouble. They eat the edible.
Right. Takes a while.
And then, but they have the image of the smoke in their mind. But the edible has to go through your entire digestion system down to your intestines before it gets into the body. That can be as much as 2 hours. So a person eats the edible and they sit there and they go, well, 10 minutes, nothing's happened. So they eat another one. Pretty soon they're like the dog. They eat the whole plate. And then when it comes on, you can't stop it. You can't pump your stomach. You can't do anything. And then when it comes on, it can lead to severe muscle cramps that are so terrible, you think you're dying. And in fact, a couple years ago, there was a police officer that had called 911, and he had stopped the perk and taken the stash from the perk and taken it home, and he and his wife made the brownies.
But they ate
all the brownies.
That's okay.
They did what I just described.
In one sitting.
Yes, and now they're having these horrible experiences. This is how people go to the hospital because they go out to you know and they buy the edibles in Colorado and they don't know what they're doing. They end up in the hospital, but they're not dying. They just feel like they're dying. So this cop calls 911 and he goes, "Call the ambulance! Call the ambulance! We're dying! We're dying!" And the 911 operator pulls out with the story. And he goes, "Well, I got the marijuana. We made the brownies. We're dying. We're dying." Call the. I mean, it was hilarious because it was a cop. Okay. They played it over and over on the radio. It was just so funny. But of course, it wasn't funny. And of course, they didn't die. But quite frankly, I did that once to myself. And my God, you never want to do it again. And another thing, years ago, I gave my dog some butter that I had batched up. You can leach the chemicals out in the butter. And I gave it to my dog. Oh, I thought it was so hilarious. Dog stumbling around looking goofy. Well, now I realize that wasn't hilarious at all.
So Doc Potter, it sounds like you're speaking from some first-hand experience here. It sounds I guess trial and error is the best way to learn, correct?
Yes. And the eating, I'm just saying with the eating, was sleeping. So I like to have a cookie, see? And I eat the cookie, well, it's not going to come on until about an hour or more. Well, I've learned.
Yes. No.
I just eat one cookie.
Yes. Well, that's...
And then I sleep through the night like the baby.
Yeah, well, I found for me, too, you're right, when you're smoking, it's instantaneous, but I find that the edibles impact me much more strongly generally than if I were to smoke a joint or smoke a bowl or a vape.
That's why you want to start low and go slow, because once that edible's in your belly...
No getting it out. No getting it out.
No getting it out.
No getting it out. So how about if people, like a patient comes to you and says, I want to try these products for medicinal use, but I'm nervous about addiction, what would your response be?
Well, the research that does exist, it is not addictive, at least not in the true sense of addiction. It might be habituating, meaning you develop a habit, you get to preferring to have it, or, you know, every night after dinner or something like that. But it's not a true addiction like an opioid or alcohol or some of these other heavy chemicals where you can't stop. I mean, serious things could happen. And withdrawal symptoms and this sort of thing, that doesn't happen with the marijuana. Maybe a slight withdrawal, but not anywhere. It just doesn't have that capability. It doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't. And like I also say, Doc Potter, I've made numerous bad decisions in my life, but never made a bad decision because I'm high. Because I'm drunk, perhaps, but not necessarily.
Yeah, drunk is bad. And by the way, the gateway drug, they always are saying pot is the gateway drug.
No.
Alcohol is the gateway drug.
Correct.
Especially for young men, you know, like teenagers.
Oh, of course. And it leads you to do destructive decisions. It has absolutely no benefit to it whatsoever. There is no benefit. Drinking alcohol, getting intoxicated is not good for you at all. There are no benefits to it whatsoever, which is why, again, that's one of my go-to arguments, too. When anyone argues against decriminalization, I say, well, alcohol is legalized and there are absolutely no benefits. You can identify with that. And as you mentioned,
well,
it's far
it's
more
dangerous.
Addictive.
People get in the
right.
car.
Right. Far more dangerous.
You know, and stuff like that. And it really is serious.
No, yes. It is certainly.
And the
serious thing
about recreational people go, well, I just want it medicinally. I don't want to get high. You know what? High is good. I mean, not high falling down, but a little high, feeling a little elevated is way better than feeling depressed.
It certainly is.
And it makes you more sociable and more outgoing, smiling.
It does for me. So I mean, especially...
It's healthy to feel good.
It does for me, too. Now, how about... Because it's legalized here in Massachusetts. We have a few dispensaries around the Boston area. So how about these different strands? Sativa, Indica. If I have correct, Indica is more of a body high. Indica in the couch, right?
Sativa Indica... That's in the plant, but also the strains with all these names, like maybe you can come up with some names.
Like Purple Dragon terpenes, or something crazy like
terpenes.
That.
Terpenes. There are more than 400 terpenes in cannabis plants. The terpenes are aromatic oils. So when you see in the movies these stoners always sniffing the pot, what they're really sniffing is the aromatic oils. And it's a mystery to me how lavender oil or lemon oil or this sort of stuff, pine oil, gets into the marijuana plant. These growers somehow do this. But these oils are in the plant, and it's starting to come out that maybe the oils are the main source of the medicinal qualities. And it's the oils with all these different smells and colors to the plant and so forth that really create the strains. I mean, there are literally hundreds of strains.
It sounds like certainly a lot more research is needed. What are your thoughts, Doc Potter, on all these legalization efforts across the states? You think that it's been...
It's obviously good. Putting people in jail for, you know, smoking a joint is ridiculous. Because once they're in jail, their lives are destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. And it's a waste, and there's no point in it. And so pulling the cannabis and these CBDs out from the Controlled Substance Act and lowering their rating or totally decriminalizing only makes sense, and making it more like the supplements.
I couldn't agree with you more. So, again, difference between THC, CBD. Like, THC gets you high. CBD does not get you high, correct, as one would think?
Right. But yes. THC doesn't necessarily get you high. It depends on how much. A little bit. See, it's all a matter of the quantity and the ratio of the THC and the CBD together. So actually, a little bit of THC is quite good in the mix. It's people are getting crazy. They want none, but they don't know what they're talking about. It's the entourage where you have the same combination of these things as they occur in the plant. And a little bit of THC actually does help with sleeping, anti-inflammatory, all kinds of positive things. It's just that we have a way of doing too much, and that's the problem.
Your book, Doctor, is centered around cannabis for seniors. Why do you think seniors in particular need more education on this?
Well, because of this opioid thing where they're doping up the seniors.
Okay. Yes.
And seniors, and one of the main messages, and this is true for everybody, is people have to learn how to use cannabis. They have to learn how to get high. You know, when people say, "Well, I smoked a joint and nothing happened," well, probably something happened. You just didn't know how to identify it.
Well, give me a tip. What are the best ways to smoke and inhale so you get the most out of your experience, or the most out of, you know,
they do, you know, there is the traditional joint, and a lot of people worry that that might harm the lungs from residues or who knows what's in that joint. Although there's not been a lot of evidence that people who smoke joints get lung cancer.
But because you don't smoke enough.
The vaping, you don't get the, you know, I'm getting hiccups here.
That's okay.
With the vaping, it takes some of that out. They have distillates. The latest word on the distillates is there might be solvents. Best to stay away from those.
Right. But how about when you smoke it, are you supposed to, like, keep it in your lungs for a certain amount of seconds to get the most, or?
Well, that's a technique to take a breath and hold it in your lungs, and that probably gets a little bit more into your bloodstream.
Right.
The important thing is, and the good thing about the smoking is you can take a puff or two puffs, and then you can stop. 2 or 3 minutes or 10 minutes, because you can keep feeling how you feel, and you can take a little more. That's called titrating, or titrating, which is a medical word where you take a little more, a tiny, slightly higher dose, till you get to the right dose. That's the way to use marijuana, with small little puffs, not huge, overwhelming, just a little puff, sit there, and then another little puff, you know, in 5 minutes, and of how it works for you, because each person's body and chemistry is different. Then, of course, there's a whole philosophy of stopping use for like 2 or 3 days, like, and then you kind of reset the clock. You don't need as much, and you can start over again at a lower dose.
We're talking with Dr. Beverly Potter. She is the author of Cannabis for Seniors. It is a book designed to educate seniors with CBD and marijuana. Doc Potter, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much for stopping by the show.
And, you know, if anybody wants to send me an email, just put a marijuana question or cannabis question in the subject line, and they can send it to me at Doc Potter, and that's like, what's up, Doc? D-O-C Potter, like Harry Potter, one word, no dot or space, just Doc Potter at DocPotter.com. So it's D-O-C-P-O-T-T-E-R, and then I'll send a link or or whatever. There are a few doctors that you can now engage online who are bona fide licensed medical doctors to work with, and that's better than just trying it on your own.
Excellent. Doc Potter, thanks so much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. That was Doc Potter. As she mentioned, you can email her, docpotter@docpotter.com. I think a very enlightening conversation. Covered lots of ground there on this important issue. This is Boston Community. This is WEEI. My name is Alex Reamer. As always, you want to hear any topics on the show, feel free to let me know. Happy to do that. Again, thanks to Doc Potter for joining us on Boston Community Affairs. Thank you, as always, for listening. Have yourselves a great rest of your weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.